When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I believe that in order for youth sports to be the most fulfilling experience for everyone involved, everybody needs to stay in their lane. Coaches need to coach, players need to play, officials need to officiate, and parents simply need to cheer, encourage, and support. And as soon as any one of those groups tries to cross over and do somebody else's job, then we start to have a problem.
This is the Reform Sports Project, a podcast about restoring healthy balance and perspective in all areas of sport through education and advocacy. Hi, this is Nick Bonacore from the Reform Sports Podcast. Today I'm speaking with Alan Stein Jr., distinguished keynote speaker, author, and former performance coach for professional basketball players for over 15 years. Author of Raise Your Game and co-author of The Sideline, a survival guide for youth sports parents, Alan shares strategies for achieving higher levels of success and navigating the world of youth sports. Alan and I discuss why it's unrealistic to expect perfection from youth sports referees, the importance of modeling the behavior we want to see in our children, and why blaming referees teaches our kids to deflect accountability. Let's go. Freaking fired up. Back in it. Got another phenomenal guest. I've built a good relationship with this gentleman. He's actually someone I've spoken with before, but I'm really pumped to have him on and, dig in here. One of the best in the business, keynote speaker, author, former performance coach, just an absolute badass. Pumped to have him. Alan Stein Jr. Alan, thanks so much for hopping on, bro.
Oh, man, it's my pleasure. Great to be with you again, Nick.
Yeah, for sure, man. And first time we connected, if I'm not mistaken, you had just put out a book. How's everything going with that? It was all kind of around the youth sports landscape. Like, what moved you, if you don't mind, what was the name of the book again, and what moved you to write it?
Well, the book was called The Sideline, A Survival Guide for Youth Sports Parents. And I need to make a quick footnote, and I think you'll be able to appreciate this. So my co-author, Rich Sozlowski, and I, this had kind of been a passion project we had been talking about for years, and we finally decided to put pen to paper and put this thing together, and we're ready to drop it in the spring of 2020, which for those with decent memories will remember that is when the global pandemic started.
Oh, yeah.
And youth sports in most areas were at least temporarily put on ice for a bit. So we decided to hold off the launch of the book until a little bit later that year. And we still found it fascinating that geographically, some areas were opening up and having youth sports. Some areas were still kind of holding back and kids weren't playing. Some were doing it with masks on. Some were just doing it outside. Like, it was still a mess. So we didn't want to launch the book until there was a time where we felt the entire country was back in the groove with youth sports. So we finally launched it in 2021, and we quickly sold out. You know, we sold out a few thousand copies very quickly. And then when we tried to get the reprint, then we started dealing with the supply chain issues that a lot of small businesses during the pandemic felt, and we couldn't get the reprint done fast enough. So we decided to pull everything back and just put it on hold until the world came back to what we would consider youth sports normal, which is what we're doing now. So we are getting ready to relaunch the book this spring, and we're so excited to get it back out there. And even though we've had a couple of speed bumps along the way, we're excited to get it out there in the hands of youth sports parents and youth sport coaches. Youth sports has been a massive part of my life for my entire life. And the same is true for Rich, my co-author. And it's in perfect alignment with all of the amazing stuff that you share on social and in your newsletter. So we're huge fans of yours and really believe that, you know, we share a similar audience and a similar message.
First of all, congrats. I can't wait. I'm so pumped for it. I know. Talk about timing. I mean, you know what, though, if there's one, I mean, I feel bad for everyone that, you know, we all struggled during that time. I would say the demographic that I feel the most pain for, you know, kind of a side topic, are the kids that lost like their senior year in high school.
I
was fortunate my kids, you know, weren't at that age at that time, but it's a powerful year. I mean, that's a year where I think everyone who played sports remembers, right? Your senior, even if you go on and be a professional athlete, right? That senior high school. So, you know, shout out to those kids. I'm glad that we all are on, you know, like to be on the other side of that for the most part. And, you know, One post you did here recently, Alan, and to your point of us kind of, you know, being like-minded, I agree with you. You did a post recently, and I shared it on the social, on our Facebook platform, was about kind of berating officials. And I know you're a hoops guy, if I'm not mistaken, you work with Steph Curry, but you talked about, like, you could probably give the better verbiage, but I'll just say it as being an absolute idiot on the sidelines and harassing officials. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter the sport. My kids, my oldest boys wrestle. My younger ones are starting to do it. Umpiring, officiate, you know, it doesn't matter what sport. There is an official issue, right? There's a lack of them, right? And I was at my kids' youth soccer game this weekend and they're six. So a lot of the kids out there that are officiating are like high school kids and they're getting like, at times, they're even hearing some knucklehead parents like, hey, wake up. I'm like, this kid's 15, 16. He's just trying. It's like, what is going to help this, I guess, you know, a backlog of recruits for officials if they're all getting scared out when they're in by middle school or high school? So to your point of your post, how do we rectify this official or help situation?
Well, man, I'm so glad that you enjoyed that post, and it was very well received, and it went fairly viral. I mean, it was shared over 5,000 times, and I got hundreds and hundreds of comments. The vast majority were in support of the message, but then there were still a few naysayers who believe they have every right to, as they call it, hold referees accountable. But there's two things that, and I would say these are almost central to the book that we wrote, that we're trying to get parents to take a different look at. One of those is to try to encourage parents not to yell instructions or to coach from the sideline, to leave that to the actual coaches. And then the other is to just take it easy on the officials. Like, I believe that in order for youth sports to be the most fulfilling experience for everyone involved, everybody needs to stay in their lane. Coaches need to coach. Players need to play, officials need to officiate, and parents simply need to cheer, encourage, and support. And as soon as any one of those groups tries to cross over and do somebody else's job, then we start to have a problem. So when a parent believes, when sitting in the bleachers or on the sideline, that they should be officiating, that they're being of help by berating the officials, that's when we start to have a problem. And it's funny. So for context, I have 13-year-old twin sons, and I have an almost 11-year-old daughter. And all three of them are very active youth basketball players. And I was at my son's game yesterday. He was playing in a local championship game. And during halftime, the referee came and sat next to me in the bleachers. And this gentleman was, I didn't ask for his exact age, but I'm guessing he's mid-60s. And from the way he was moving up and down the court, looked like he probably had a couple of knee surgeries. Like this gentleman was doing the best he could, but he wasn't the most mobile of people that I've ever seen. And he sat down and I just said, man, long day. And he said, dude, this is my 10th game today. And I said, wow, man, first of all, you're doing a great job and we really appreciate it. 10 games. And he looked at me dead in the eye and said, man, we don't have enough officials. Like, we have to do all of these games because there's not enough officials and I want to make sure the kids can play. And I said, well, why aren't there enough officials? And he smiled and winked and he just looked over his shoulder behind him at all of the parents and kind of made a gesture as if, like, to your point, what you're saying, like, who wants to do this? Who wants to get paid minimum wage to run up and down the court and have kids' parents berate them and scream at them and basically, you know, criticize every single thing that they do? And him not even saying anything, just making kind of that wink and that gesture, really spoke volume. So I just want parents to understand a couple of things when it comes to yelling at referees. One, which I just made this point, it's not your job. Your job is to support, to cheer, and to encourage your child. You're not here to hold referees accountable. If you believe that you can do a better job officiating than the people currently doing it, you are more than welcome to sign up, go through the referee training, put on a striped shirt, and do it yourself. Second, and I think this is even more important, I firmly believe that when parents are yelling at referees, they are unconsciously telling their child that it's not your fault and that it's okay to blame someone else or it's okay to make excuses. It takes this attitude of extreme ownership off of our children and it puts it on someone else. That, you know, and I, as a parent, that's the exact opposite of what I want to teach and model for my children. I want them to hold themselves fully accountable to everything. And the other thing that I find really interesting with this is, for some reason, of all of the different roles that I just mentioned, the officiating role is the only one where there's this expectation of perfection. Like, why in the world would a parent think that someone refereeing, as you just said, a six-year-old soccer game is going to be perfect at that. No one, none of these roles are perfect. Coaches aren't perfect. Players certainly aren't perfect. Why is there an expectation that referees would be perfect? And, you know, to yell at a referee for missing a traveling call or for not calling 3 seconds or not calling it over the back as if they're supposed to be absolutely perfect at their job, I just think is diminishing the experience of youth sports and is teaching our kids the wrong lessons.
I'm so glad that you said, you should have seen my face when I, you talked about that. Cause as you were speaking and I was thinking, I'm like, man, you know, you're talking about I love the sport of wrestling. All right. I knew nothing about it. Right. My kids got introduced to it 7 years ago. And quite frankly, I fell in love with it right away because I was like, oh my God, there's finally a sport where parents can't say, oh my God, the ball bounced the wrong way. Oh, the umpire did this or whatever. The lineup sucks. And I'm like, you know what? You get pinned, you get pinned. You get your rear end kicked, you get kicked. And I was like, man, talk about being able to teach accountability. And as a baseball guy, you know, growing up and playing in college, I was like, man, I love this sport because I think youth baseball is one of the most toxic places for excuse making and entitlement teaching. Yeah. Like to your point of, you know, yes, you get in the car and the first thing I'm doing is talking to my 12-year-old or 8-year-old or 15-year-old son or daughter about, yeah, that wasn't your fault. And this is to your point. This is exactly what I'm saying. If I'm blaming the official, I might as well just be saying, it's not your fault. It's okay. You know, you got screwed. Like, What am I telling my kid? Like, you're teaching no accountability. You're totally eliminating what I think is, you know, one of the biggest things to extract from the youth sport experience, and that's accountability, right? Those life skills. But it's hard. It's hard to not get wrapped up, and I'm going to play both sides in,
sure,
in how competitive, right? In the emotion, in the jubilation, in the joy of being your kid's fan, right? So in that moment, how many people are disciplined enough, Alan, to go, like my kid's about to score in a soccer game or basketball game, whatever, and then all of a sudden there's a foul that's committed or whatever, a penalty, and the referee doesn't see it. And me not go, it's like a split second decision of me not going, like, oh, well, the referee's human, or God, make that call. You know, like, how do you know when to pause?
I'm so glad you went in that direction. And first, I know that it can often sound at first glance like I'm being heavily critical of youth sports parents. And I want to make it crystal clear how much I value, respect, love, and appreciate any parent that makes the sacrifices they do for their child to play sports. I mean, they make time, money, and effort sacrifices. And as a fellow youth sports parent, I want to support and champion and help youth sports parents. So anything that may be perceived that I'm saying or that I put in the book as criticism is only done with the intention of trying to help and to get parents to see a better way. And yes, it is so hard. And I can speak, you know, as a recent convert, because when I was younger, when I was a youth player myself, I was notorious for blaming the referees and making excuses. It was never my fault. It was always their fault. And even as I got older, as a young coach, I would tend to place blame in other places. So my stance is somewhat newfound within the last decade of having kids and really seeing, you know, on this side of it. So I understand that parents are competitive, that parents want to see their children thrive and be successful on the court, on the field, or on the wrestling mat, you know, and they love their children and they want to see them thrive and successful and win. And I get it. But we just have to remember the big picture. And I think what's most important is for parents to get crystal clear on why they want their child to play youth sports in the first place. And for me, the main reasons I want my kids to play sports is not because I think they're going to be professional athletes. For me, it's not even so they can earn college scholarships. For me, it's so they can learn life lessons and that they can have unbelievable friendships and create memories and have experiences and just enjoy doing something that you know, that they consider fun. That's why I want my kids to play sports. Now, if it happens to be able to turn into something that they can do after high school, that's fine. That would just be an extra bonus. But the main reason I want my kids to play sports is so that they can learn really important life lessons. And if that is my number one goal, if that is my North Star, then I need to make sure all of my behavior as a youth sports parent is in alignment with that. And as we've already established, if my goal is for them to learn life lessons and the behavior I'm modeling is actually teaching them the wrong lessons, is teaching them to, you know, deflect accountability and blame other people and make excuses and complain, then my behavior is doing the exact opposite of what I'm intending. I'm undermining what I want my kids to be learning. And if you can take a step back and just take a deep breath and just say, yes, you know, I would love for my kids to be successful on the court or on the field. But you have to truly believe that, you know, being able to play through bad calls or missed calls or allowing imperfection from the referees is all part of that. I mean, going back to that game with my kids yesterday, my son Luke's team ended up losing in the championship. He missed several shots and he turned the ball over several times. Now, he played really hard and he played unselfishly. I mean, I'm so proud of him. But statistically, he made several mistakes, missed shots and turnovers. So if my own son is going to make a handful of mistakes, why am I expecting that the referee is going to be perfect? Why would I not give the referee the same grace that I would give my own child, which is, it's okay to make mistakes. You are young. You are learning the game. I mean, let's think about it. There's a reason that this almost 70-year-old gentleman with hobbled knees is refereeing a youth basketball game. It's because he's not good enough to be in the NBA. That's why he's doing a youth game. So shouldn't we have slightly lower expectations? And I say that with a smile. Why is someone expecting someone that is doing 10 youth basketball games on a Sunday to have the acumen and the competence of an NBA official who are the absolute best in the world at what they do? And then, of course, the comedic part of all that is, even though the NBA referees are the absolute best in the world at what they do, they still make mistakes. And as we can see from watching games, they still get berated by coaches and players. I think one of the hardest parts in trying to resolve this, which is, I know what you had asked, just using basketball as an example, NBA players are awful at their body language and their response to calls that they don't like. I mean, the best players in the world are constantly blaming, complaining, and making excuses to the referees. So unfortunately, that's something that our children are seeing. That's something that parents are seeing. And then folks just try to emulate that behavior. And that's something I talk to my children all the time about. Say, hey, look, just because LeBron complains about a call in a game doesn't mean that it's okay for you to do that. You know, you're not LeBron. And I say that with a smile and a wink to my own children. So I think the most important part is for us as parents to have the discipline, the self-control, and the emotional regulation skills to take a deep breath and to just give the referees some grace. Don't say anything about what it is that they're doing. Let them do their job and put all of our focus into loving, supporting, encouraging, and cheering for our own children. Even when you disagree with a call, even when it's blatantly obvious that the referee missed a call, just remember that they are allowed to make mistakes the same way our children are allowed to make mistakes and the same way we are as parents. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm certainly not batting 1,000 when it comes to decisions that I've made with my children. I've made more than my share of parenting mistakes in a variety of capacities, and I learn from them. I try not to repeat them, and I love my kids anyway.
When we come back, Alan and I discuss why growth often happens in times of adversity. Welcome back. Where we left off, Alan and I were about to talk about why it's important to teach kids that if they want to enjoy winning, they need to have the courage and accountability to accept losing. It's funny you say that. My oldest son is getting ready to, you know, he's going to go wrestle in college next year. He's a senior in high school, so he'll be graduating here in the next several months or next couple months. And we were talking about after his wrestling season, my wife and I brought him out to dinner. He was fortunate to win a North Carolina high school state championship for the first time, which was freaking awesome, you know, something he worked hard for. And so we went out to dinner. We're kind of, you know, you're sitting down with your kid and reflecting on the years. And his freshman year, you know, first of all, it was funny because he was mainly a JV guy his freshman year because he had a state champion in front of him at the weight. So we had to back up. Now on 90% of the teams in the state, he would have been a starter, but we were state champs and he had a stud in front of him. So he got better from that experience. Anyway, he ended up placing 4th as a sophomore in the state, 2nd as a junior, and as a senior, you know, winning it. So we have development there, but also we were talking about his freshman year, and his freshman year, he would come home sometimes and talk about how he was kind of getting hazed a little bit, you know, maybe getting picked on in the room or whatever. And you know, I at times, and he was telling me, he goes, Dad, you kind of didn't believe me. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, well, you were telling me. I was almost like, are you the one who's being goofy? Like, are you egging it out? Are you encouraging guys to get on? You know what I mean? Like I was quick to almost like, I want to say blame him for maybe getting a you know, because I know he is a goofball. You know what I mean? Like at times. Well, and now he's telling me, he's like, no, Dad, I was legitimately like getting bullied a little by a couple of guys who were just complete idiots, and they're no longer in the room. So one of his goals as a senior was to change the, now, mind you, he was never like, I was never concerned for his safety. I was never concerned for that. You know, so if that were an issue, I would have certainly stepped it up a little bit and all that. But I do remember him complaining a little bit how guys were being at times jerks to him or whatever. But end of the story is, you know, he's gotten better from it. But my point is, his goal was to make sure as a senior that the room, the wrestling room, changed. He didn't want to have any hazing, any type of, he wanted to make it where when freshmen come in, sophomores come in, like we're a family. And by God, it's one of the most things I'm proud of him and my younger son, Tyler. And they've really created this room of individuals where everyone's on the same team. Everyone gets along. It's a giant family. And it took some time for development for that. So there's a couple pieces in where I'm going with this is, we have to let kids come into their own, right? That we talk about late bloomers. We talk about opportunities to get better. And this kind of goes into the whole, I think, urgency with officials and results right away. It's like, if we step back and really think about, like you mentioned, the big picture and let things come into their own, I feel like, you know, through the struggles of, you know, failure, through the struggles of adversity, through all those things, if we let our kids develop and really, you know, become sponges of the entire experience and not just, you know, make it so it's a paved road of joy and winning and success. I feel like long-term they end up being better, but how do we allow for the late blooming to happen without getting caught up in, oh my God, this kid's getting recruited in eighth grade? Because early, you know, that's a big piece of this all.
I'm so glad you went in that direction. Like, that is one of the most valuable parts of the sporting experience, is to provide a safe environment for our kids to make mistakes, for our kids to quote unquote miss some shots, make some turnovers, lose some games. And that's where the growth actually happens. The growth occurs through the adversity and through the challenge. You know, the growth occurs, you know, with that example that you just said, your son has to take a backseat to someone that's in front of him, that's a more accomplished wrestler at the time, and gets to learn from that experience, you know, gets to rev up his hunger so that when he's given an opportunity, then he's able to shine. And for him to not only shine literally on the wrestling mat, but to use that as a springboard to help change the culture and the way that the wrestling room was behaving is even better. And that's what I think is so important. So, you know, it is, as much as we want to see our kids happy and thriving and smiling and winning and hoisting trophies and all that, the real growth comes from the low times. And, you know, it's funny. I mentioned my son Luke's game yesterday. All three of my kids had a game yesterday. All three of them lost yesterday. And we had a really good family discussion after. And I said, look, I know that losing is no fun. I know that it's everybody's preference, including mine, to win. But losing is a part of the game. And if you want to be able to enjoy winning, then you have to have the courage and the ownership and the accountability to accept losing. And when you do lose, you don't point the finger, you don't complain, you don't make excuses. You hold yourself fully accountable and ask yourself, what could I have done to maybe have changed this outcome? What is something I could have done better to potentially given us a better chance to win? And when we can focus on making sure that we're learning in all of these experiences, then we'll grow. And keep in perspective, you know, the age. I mean, our children are not professionals, you know. I mean, at least with my children, they're not even collegiate athletes yet. They're still youth players. They're not even in high school yet. This is the time to learn as many of these lessons and experiences as you can. And, you know, one of my firmest beliefs as a parent is we need to model the behavior that we want to see in our children. So if we want children that are respectful, hardworking, have great attitudes, that are coachable, that are enthusiastic, that are willing to learn from mistakes, then we need to model all of those different behaviors. And that's why, you know, berating officials, as tempting as it may be in the heat of the moment, is going in the wrong direction. And one other thought on that, and I say this with a huge smile because it's almost comical, is I literally want to ask parents, you know, when a call is missed on the court and you scream out at the referee for missing the call, what do you actually think is going to happen from you yelling that? Like, what is the intended result?
He's going to reverse the call. He's going to change it automatically.
I know. And that's the part that's so comical, because in the history of sport at every single level, no referee has ever changed a call because a parent sitting in the bleachers berated them. Like, it just doesn't happen.
You know, if
in the very rare instance that any call is ever overturned, it's usually because one official saw something different than the other. They get together for 10 seconds and then they say, no, the ball actually went out on blue. The one referee thought it went out on white, but we have a better vantage point and we change it. And of course, at the professional level, they've got the luxury of instant replay and so forth. But I don't understand what the parent's goal is. By screaming out and highlighting in front of the whole gym that the referee missed this call, what do you think is going to happen? If anything, you're embarrassing the referee. You're trying to show them up. You're criticizing someone who, as we've already established, is hardly getting paid anything and is only there in service of our children. Like, I don't understand what the intended outcome is. It's not going to change anything. And if anything, it'll probably sway the referee against you and your team, because they don't like being shown up and criticized publicly, because none of us would. And, you know, the other example I use all the time is, I mean, just imagine if whatever your listeners, whatever job you have, if someone just showed up to your job and sat a few feet away from you and started screaming at you for every single thing that you were doing, it's completely unacceptable. In every area of life, that is completely unacceptable. But for some reason, we tend to give a pass at youth sports, and we think it is completely fine to berate and criticize and yell and scream at someone who's just trying to do the best they can. And, you know, also keep in mind those lanes that I mentioned earlier. I want parents to know that the parenting role, the being a fan of the game, is the only one that's not required. Like, you have to have players to play a game. You have to have coaches to play a game, and you have to have officials. Those three are non-negotiable. If you don't have any one of those three, then a game can't transpire. But you don't need parents and you don't need fans. You can clear the gym and get rid of every single parent. That game can still go on. So parents need to realize that, you know, they need to be thankful for the opportunity to be able to watch their child and cheer their child on. That they're not a requirement for the game to go on, that it's a privilege. It's not a right to be in the stands. And we need to hold that privilege more sacredly.
That's a freaking great point. It brought me back to, you know, COVID times when there were no sports and all we wanted to do was watch our kids play, man. It's a great reminder. And Al, I know you're big at speaking at all different types of engagements, whether it's, you know, sports organizations, business organizations, you know, keynotes of all kind. You're re-releasing your book, tons of great content. What are the best places for people to connect and be able to follow you?
Well, I really appreciate this conversation and this opportunity. I want folks to keep in mind that trying to help and support and encourage youth sports parents is just a passion project of mine. As you mentioned, my main vocation is as a corporate keynote speaker. So I have a website, allensteinjr.com, if anyone is ever interested in that. But the best way for folks to get in touch with me or stay in touch is just to follow on social at @AllenSteinJr. If you follow me on Instagram or on Facebook or anything like that, just shoot me a DM. If you have any questions or if you want to talk about this some more, be my honor to do it. And then when we do re-release The Sideline, that will be thesidelinebook.com. And we would love to get that in as many parents' hands as possible. We do a lot of different team and program bulk orders. You know, we just had a basketball program a few weeks ago order 2,500 copies to give one to every single parent in their program. And they really want to make that a part of their culture. The same way that your son wanted to change the landscape of the culture in the wrestling room, we've got some schools and some organizations that want to change the landscape of how parents interact at the youth sports. So, would love to be able to help any parent or organization or team that I can. So just shoot me a DM on any of the social channels. Be my honor to help.
Allen Stein Jr., ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for hopping on, bro. Always a pleasure. Love your passion. Love your candor. Love your energy. Can't thank you enough, man.
Feelings mutual. I appreciate you, Nick.
That's Alan Stein Jr., author and corporate keynote speaker.
Thanks for listening to the Reform Sports Project podcast. I'm Nick Bonacor, and our goal is to restore a healthy balance and perspective in all areas of sport through education and advocacy. For updates, please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or check out our website by searching for the Reform Sports Project.